Ghoulish greetings, everyone. Those awesome tunes are courtesy of the amazing Bobby Mackey. And I, of course, am your host, Tessa Morrow.
Now today it's a different place, all the same with a new face, with strange mysteries hanging in the air. People in their sane minds swear they see you today. Are you looking for the love they took away?
Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers podcast part of your morning, day, night, graveyard shift. Whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from tiny village to resort town, from cozy mountain town to the scorching hot desert, the hustle and bustle of the biggest of cities that, believe you me, they never sleep, and everything in between, it is greatly appreciated. Where will this week's special city shoutouts take us to? Pensacola, Florida. And to be honest, this one kind of was shocking to me, and I was stoked to see it. I'm stoked to see all of them, but Centralia, Pennsylvania. Like original Silent Hill. It's like probably population of like 5 or something. Have to do an episode on that one alone sometime. Valonia, Indiana. Reidsville, North Carolina. Columbia, South Carolina, and Colville, England. Before I start, I just like to say how saddened I am about the devastation that these two back-to-back hurricanes, Helene and Milton, have caused. I was on my annual trip to Tombstone, so I already had a couple of episodes already ready to be released, and it's like that's always convenient for me, but I always like hate when things like this happen, and I always want to say something about it because it's on my mind heavily, and I'm unable to. So I'm saying it now. It's just for everybody who's dealing with that. Like, I live in North Carolina half the year, and I cannot be there this time of year because of these horrible storms. And the people who deal with it and stay are so much stronger and braver than I can ever be. And I have to give you all kudos for that. Several deaths. So many people still missing. They said over 90 deaths alone in North Carolina. And again, just tons of people still missing and utter chaos and tragedy. Now, I've done this before with a friend whose brother went missing and sadly was found deceased later on, murdered actually. But if anybody is listening and is missing a loved one due to these horrific hurricanes and you want your loved one's story told, and of course their description and anything else that can help possibly find them, your missing loved one, please reach out to me at paraprowl@gmail.com and we'll get a bonus episode up and running for you. This week we are going to visit 5 burial grounds scattered throughout the United States, hitting up Florida, Georgia, Massachusetts, New York, and Oklahoma. First stop, let's visit Tolomato Cemetery. It's located in the ever so beautiful St. Augustine, Florida, and it dates back to the Second Spanish period. One notable individual who rests here eternally is Florida's very first bishop. When Bishop Faro died, it was planned for his body to be viewed by the public, as was normal when somebody like that died. But this was unfortunately during the hot summer months. And this is before you could just throw someone in the, you know, refrigerator or freezer or whatever. And so to preserve his corpse, a pit was built and ice was put into this pit. And this would create somewhat of a makeshift ice house, if you will. Well, what happened next is something that you may think Hollywood would have created, but no. It's just Mother Nature's way of showing her scary and somewhat sloppy side. Bishop Faro was placed in a glass-lid iron coffin. The heat proved to be way too much, and his body actually exploded. The glass lid from the dead man's coffin shatters, and while doing so, it sprayed mourners with not only glass shards, but also bits and pieces of the bishop's rotting flesh and remains. I know, cringeworthy. Again, it sounds more like a Stephen King movie than real life. Hollywood, eat your heart out, baby. There is a heartbreaking tale that is connected to this cemetery. Long ago, there was this little boy named James, and he would often enjoy climbing the cemetery trees. He had done this countless times, with no incident whatsoever. That was until one fateful day in November of 1877. There was this tree in the cemetery. Still there, I believe. It's a gorgeous, beautiful oak tree. That was James's absolute favorite. We all have our happy place, right? I just got back from mine, Tombstone. That's my happy place. This tree, this gorgeous oak tree in the cemetery, this was James's happy place. And his mother enjoyed looking out the window as they lived right across the street from the cemetery. And she would be happy, you know, that she would be able to keep an eye on her boy, but also just watch him play, giggle, laugh, and just see how truly happy of a boy she was so lucky to call her own. Tragedy sadly strikes. James's mother realizes that he's not back yet from playing, and it's dinner time. She would tell him when he had to come back home, and he was a very responsible boy. He knew when dinner was, and he would be back for that. But not today. No, not that November day in 1877. She looks out the window, and by golly, if it's possible, her heart skips a beat. It stops. She sees James, her precious son, lying in an unnatural way on the cemetery ground. By his favorite tree, of course. And it seems that James, he was just playing up in the tree like usual. And he must have lost grip or something because he falls to his death. He breaks his neck in the process. Mama Bear, completely and utterly heartbroken. When something unnatural happens, such as a child dying, and the parent must bury their beloved child, it's excruciating. That's something someone should never, ever have to do. I know great people, people that I love and care deeply for, that I am so lucky to have in my life, that have had to do just that. A parent should not have to bury their child. And it's soul crushing, and I just cannot imagine. And anybody listening who had to do that, I am so just absolutely, truly, truly sorry that you and your family had to go through that. So James's mom, she's beside herself, anybody would be, with the sudden death of her newly five-year-old boy. Just turned 5 years old 2 weeks earlier. Like, oh my God, he was a baby. She worked hard to get James buried under the tree. It was James's tree. He loved that tree. He played by and in that tree. And let's be brutally honest, he died at that tree. It was shortly after James's death that his grieving mother looks out the window, something she did countless times throughout the years, to see her happy-go-lucky boy playing in the tree. It was a common thing to see him with the tree. But this time, after his death, she was shocked to see the apparition of James still playing in that beloved oak tree. She looks, and there he is, sitting in the tree like it's any other day. He's wearing the very same clothing that she saw him wear the day of his death. She shared this with other people, that she had seen her son after death, but it didn't stop there. She saw him more than just the one time. And guess what? Other people began witnessing the same thing. James with the tree, forever playing, forever 5 years young. We now find ourselves in Timber Ridge Cemetery, located in Catoosa, Oklahoma, home to the, if you remember, iconic big blue well that I talked about in my part 4 of Route 66 series. Locals refer to Timber Ridge Cemetery as Haunted Hollow. Legend has it that a young Native American boy was riding his bike one day near the cemetery and is killed when a car hits him. Supposedly, he is buried here, And many people throughout the years have claimed to have seen the apparition of this little boy riding his bike. In some spine-tingling cases, some have shared that they would be driving in the area and that they would feel like they had just hit something with their car, but they'd never see what it is. When they get out to inspect the car and search the area, they cannot find anything. No animal, no person, no debris in the road. Nothing that would show that they hit something. What they do see in cases, though, is a tiny little bloody handprint on the car. Definitely creepy stuff for sure. Other things that happen in the cemetery is that the gate will just kind of grow a mind of its own, opening, closing all by itself. Others have bore witness to seeing strange, mysterious balls of light hovering over the headstones. Some locals are kind of actually really defensive when it comes to this particular burial ground, saying that there is no way in hell that this place is haunted, while others not only say the cemetery is absolutely haunted without a doubt, but also that the surrounding area is also haunted. I just think it's kind of funny when people fight over stuff like that. Like, it's okay to believe that things are haunted, and it's definitely okay to believe that things are not haunted. But why argue about it? Why get so, like, about it? To me, it's just like a waste of energy, but that's just me. Now, this is really important for me to mention. I did see that Timber Ridge Cemetery is located on private grounds. So please, no trespassing on this private property. But if you are in the area, I'm sure there are several other awesome haunted locations that you are able to check out without trespassing. And make sure to go visit that big blue well on the historic Route 66. Next, we head over to Colonial Park Cemetery, located in downtown Savannah, Georgia. This burial ground dates back to 1750. They do stop burials 103 years later in 1853, and in 1896, it becomes a city park. Colonial Park Cemetery is considered to be a highly haunted location. In fact, it's one of the most haunted locations in Savannah, Georgia, which is definitely no easy feat. Savannah is one of those places like Tombstone where they say just the whole place is haunted. Doesn't matter, you throw a rock somewhere, and it's haunted. With it being home to the Mercer Williams House, Laurel Grove Cemetery, Madison Square, Wright Square, the 1790 Inn, and that's just naming a handful. It's no secret that Savannah, Georgia is filled to the brim and overflowing with haunted locations. During the Civil War and Sherman's march to sea, the Union soldiers used the burial grounds as a camp area. Just a ton of history here for sure. Notable burials include Button Gwinnett, one of the men that signed the Declaration of Independence, so that's pretty cool. Patriot General for the Revolutionary War named Nathaniel Greene. He was originally buried here at Colonial Park, but many years after his death, for reasons unknown, he was moved to Johnson Square. William Scarborough, a sea captain and an owner of the amazing SS Savannah, well, he rests here too. And around 700 unfortunate souls who succumbed to Savannah's 1820 yellow fever epidemic, they rest eternally here in a mass grave. Sadly, the 1820 epidemic would not be the only one to leave a nasty mark in Savannah's history. They also suffered through yellow fever outbreaks in 1854 and in 1876. Your liver is literally under attack. Your skin changes to this nasty, yellowish, unnatural color. You deal with excruciating pain going through your body. You experience killer headaches. You throw up this nasty, vile black shit that's made out of nightmares. There's a marker at the cemetery that shares that nearly 700 people died from the yellow fever epidemic and are buried here in a mass grave. But word is, and I'm not sure how accurate this is, but many believe that the exact number was actually 666 people. But they didn't want to associate yellow fever with the mark of the beast, so they said it was 700. Again, unsure if that's accurate, but still interesting enough to share. Atlas Obscura shares this online, quote, "Savannah was spared from the total destruction of Sherman's march to the sea during the Civil War, when the city was surrendered without incident as the rebel army retreated across the Savannah River and into South Carolina. Later, Sherman presented the city to Abraham Lincoln as a gift in Christmas time in 1864. But the occupying Union soldiers are reputed to have left their mark in Savannah in a unique and unusual way, by subtly altering the gravestones in the colonial cemetery. Along the east wall of the cemetery lie dozens of gravestones, which, according to local legend, the soldiers dug up and displaced. They changed the dates of many on the headstones with their bayonets, one man living to the ripe age of 421, his neighbor living 544 years, and another man's son was born 1,000 years before his father. The reality is that many graves were exhumed and moved during Savannah's many yellow fever and malaria epidemics, when death succeeded the available space in the old burying ground." Unquote. Atlas Obscura also shared some really good advice for those planning to go to Colonial Park Cemetery for a visit sometime. Quote, "Just east of Chippewa Square, the headstones are hung on a brick wall on the southeastern corner of the cemetery, close to East Perry Lane. The dead of night guided tour starts at 11 p.m. and is really not for kiddos. Tons of the local ghost tour operators say that this is the place where most people report feeling a ghost," unquote. And I like that they say that it's not for kids, because I know people have done it before. They even have like little classes, like teach your kid how to ghost hunt. But, you know, I've gone to places that are said to be haunted, and I pay money to do this like investigation or a tour, because even if it's just a tour, I still record and I love hearing the history. And I can't help but notice little kids laughing or screaming or crying or throwing tantrums, and it's what kids do. I understand that completely, but it's like, maybe go to Chuck E. Cheese or something, or, you know, Disneyland or somewhere where it's like, okay, scream your heart out, baby. But anyways, that's just my two cents. And I know a lot of people listening may not agree with me, because maybe they have their kids go to these things. But, you know, if they're like a really well-behaved kid, sure, whatever. But anyways, speaking of ghost tours, I quote Ghost City Tours, quote, "The most famous ghost story to come out of Colonial Park Cemetery is the haunting story of Rene Rondolier. Rene's ghost has reportedly been seen walking through the cemetery or hanging from the hanging tree, which is towards the back of Colonial Park Cemetery. How do people know this is Rene's ghost? Well, in real life, Rene was a very large person, standing almost 7 feet tall. It was said that one night Rene was caught not long after murdering two young girls inside the cemetery. A mob was organized to find and lynch Rene. And after Rene was hung in the nearby square, residents started to report a large shadowy figure walking the grounds of Colonial Park, Rene's favorite place to play," unquote. Now, mind you, in this very same article, they do share that there is no proof that the story actually happened, that it's most likely not true. If two children were murdered in a cemetery, it would have been big news, would have been able to find some info on it. But it still makes for a fun, spooky tale. And who doesn't like fun, spooky tales in spooky October? Which is like, you know, obviously the best time of year. Next stop is Howard Street Cemetery, located in the hauntingly spectacular town of Salem, Massachusetts. A town that has long since been on my bucket list. Howard Street Cemetery was established back in 1801. and originally was named Branch Street Cemetery, because back then it was Branch Street, not Howard Street. It is a beautiful historical cemetery that's rather small in size, less than 3 acres. To be more exact, Howard Street Cemetery is only 2.5 acres. While on the smaller side, it does not lack the number of burials. 1,100 rest here eternally. They stopped burials in 1953. Now, notable burials include second mate Benjamin Ropes, who died after being crushed to death while trying to launch the foretop mast of a ship called Belisarius, and he has the honor to be the very first person buried here at Howard Street Cemetery. Also buried here are 10 Salem jail prisoners who died when the floor of the jail collapsed. Legend has it that before the land was used for burying the dead, it was used to punish supposed witches, including Giles Corey, who was accused during the Salem witch trials. He was pressed to death by Sheriff George Corwin back in 1692, and it is said that the execution took place right here on the cemetery grounds of Howard Street Cemetery. Now, there is no doubt that Giles Corey existed. He was an 80-year-old farmer from Northamptonshire. Ridiculous claims were thrown his way, first that his wife was a witch, and then that he was a witch. And I did an episode on the Hartford Witch Trials of Connecticut, which happened 45 years before Salem would conduct their very own witch trials. Corey refuses to plead guilty to such a ludicrous accusation, and he paid the price. His wife. It took 3 days of crushing for him to finally perish. What may be legend is the location of where his brutal execution actually took place. No doubt the man was real, his death was brutally real, and while there is no proof, it is believed the location just happened to be here at the cemetery before it was obviously a cemetery, of course. He is believed to haunt the area. And it's said that his apparition shows up before tragedy strikes in town. One really great example of this happening is when his spirit was seen wandering the cemetery grounds right before the Great Salem Fire of 1914 took place. Historyofmassachusetts.org talks about the fire, quote, "The Great Salem Fire of 1914 was a large fire that took place in Salem, Massachusetts on June 25th of 1914. The fire killed 3 people and injured 60 people. In addition, the fire left 18,000 people homeless and 10,000 people without jobs after it burned 253 acres and destroyed 1,376 buildings in a small town. The damage caused a financial loss of about $15 million, and the insurance policies paid close to $12 million. We end things today with the final cemetery, last but certainly not least, Sleepy Hollow Cemetery, located in Tarrytown, New York. Originally when opened, it was called Tarrytown Cemetery. Here's a fun fact for you, my friends. Washington Irving himself, the man behind the epic legend of Sleepy Hollow, is buried right here. Before his death, Irving requested the cemetery name be changed from Tarrytown Cemetery to Sleepy Hollow Cemetery. Has a better tune to it, doesn't it? Sleepy Hollow, yes. And when Irving died, they honored him by doing just that. The Headless Horseman Bridge is not too far from Sleepy Hollow Cemetery, yet another location on my ever-so-mighty bucket list. Someday, Headless Horseman. Someday. Civil War General Samuel Thomas dies here in 1903, and he's laid to rest in a mausoleum. Many families, if not most, would have been mighty proud of such an eternal resting spot for their dearly departed loved ones, but not General Thomas's widow Anne. No siree, Bob. She reaches out to the best sculptor around, a man named Andrew O'Connor Jr. He creates a masterpiece. It's just a devastatingly gorgeous bronze funerary life-size statue of a woman kneeling down. She's grieving and mourning the loss of a loved one. Andrew kind of thought that Anne, the widow, was grieving, mourning. And, you know, I mean, this was a beautiful piece. Again, many people would be proud to display such a work of art at their loved one's gravesite, but not the widow Anne. She was extremely disappointed about it, and it was no secret that she hated it. She openly complained and bitched and moaned to anybody that would listen. She demands the sculptor to redo the statue. This time, make the woman look super happy, smiling, happy-go-lucky, yada, 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 yada. Something that you really don't see at cemeteries that often. He did as requested. Anne saw it, and for once, she loved it. Andrew, however, he had a reputation to uphold. He was indeed the finest sculptor in the area, and this new piece, this grinning woman, in a place of sorrow, it made him sick. It really did. Made him want to lose his breakfast. And by golly, it was a really good breakfast. He hated it. He didn't want it associated with his good name, something he worked so hard at and was so proud of. He throws the head in disgust to the ground, destroying it. Legend has it, there's a statue in the cemetery that supposedly if you sit on its lap, then hop down and look in the mausoleum keyhole, that you will see the apparition of a woman. I personally don't recommend this playing around on top of funerary statues or headstones or mausoleums or whatever. Considered poor taste and frowned upon for sure. In 2009, Sleepy Hollow Cemetery is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. You go, Sleepy Hollow. You go. Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others. They are all phenomenal. Haven't heard every single damn one yet? Well, no need to be sorrowful. Hit up any of those podcast platforms, such as Blueberry, CastBox, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Deezer, Player FM. Basically, wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers Podcast lurking in the background. Thanks, everyone.
See you next week.